WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another show with the Newport Music Festival. Happy New Year,
Pamela. Happy New Year, Mike, and to all of our listeners.
Absolutely. It's the Sunday after the big event, and we're starting a new 2019 with great anticipation of all the things that are going to happen with the Newport Music Festival, as well as this show, and something new that we added a couple months ago that you're involved with. We have a kids' classical hour, too, that airs on Saturday mornings that Pamela does with Jamie Jones. And the show this week is going to be tied together, right?
Absolutely. So we'll talk about it in a minute, but if you listen to the children's show, you'll learn a little bit of the history of a certain composer that we're going to talk about this evening.
All right. Well, let's get to it. So who is the composer?
Well, actually, I'm going to talk about the broadcast for 1 minute, if you don't mind.
All right.
So
we can do that.
As I begin to reminisce on 2018, I realized how important these broadcasts truly are. I know that the station and I have received many personal notes from people who love classical music, but maybe never had the time to learn about it, or from individuals that know very little about this genre and who have started to enjoy it because of the manner in which we present a bit of history and the context in which to better understand the repertoire.
Absolutely.
So to all of our listeners, please feel free to download these broadcasts and send them to your friends. And now we will start with something very exciting. Since we took a little break over the holidays, we didn't have the opportunity to celebrate the December birthday of a very significant composer, namely Ludwig van Beethoven.
All right. He's pretty famous.
He's absolutely one of the big ones, right? So tonight we also officially begin the preview of the Newport Music Festival's 51st season. So tonight we're previewing the concert, which is going to be Beethoven at the Breakers. And that concert will be on Tuesday, July 9th, 2019, at the Breakers. And this evening, we're discussing the middle period of Beethoven's compositional life. And the entire concert is these middle period compositions. By the way, tickets go on sale at the end of January. And our listeners can view all of the concerts and purchase their tickets on the website at newportmusic.org.
All right. Let me repeat that. newportmusic.org. So very simple to remember.
So we don't exactly know when Beethoven was born. We know when he was baptized, on December 17th, 1770, in Bonn. And he died on March 26th in 1827. And, you know, when we start thinking about these composers, what makes Beethoven so great? We say he's a great composer. But what's interesting is that Beethoven's importance in music history marks the end of the classical period. So he composed as part of the classical period.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was really the beginning of the Romantic period. So he was really the bridge between those two eras. So we talk about the classical period in European music from about 1730 to 1820, and then about 1850 to 1910 is Romantic. So you can see he's right in the middle of this period. So what's interesting is the classical period is really defined as sort of you have maybe a melody or several melodies at the same time. Whereas when you move into Romantic music, it's not just pure music, but it's supposed to inspire you to perhaps hear a babbling brook or to see something. And so the composer was attempting to say something more than the music itself. It was music to conjure moods, to tell a story. And so that's why we find Beethoven, you know, in the middle of this period, he brilliantly created these moods. And I think that's why we're so attracted to him. He transports us. Unfortunately, Beethoven went deaf in about 1800. So this middle period is actually the first period of his deafness. The late period becomes loud. People think that maybe he created bigger music so that he could try to hear the vibrations himself.
Right.
But also he went so experimental that it almost conjures up the next period of music. You know, he really transforms and anticipates.
Gave it a push start.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this middle period is often a period that people really enjoy. So it's past classicism. It has forms that we understand. And yet at the same time, you hear Beethoven, the composer. So maybe we should just jump start into this middle period with a piano sonata, the first piece on this program, called the Waldstein, Piano Sonata No. 21 in C major. So this piece was composed by Beethoven in 1804, and it was dedicated to Count Ferdinand von Waldstein, his protector in Bonn, and the one who arranged for him to study with Haydn. Interestingly enough, the French music critics have named the sonata L'Aurora, right? The daybreak, because they feel that the first movement is like noisy, and the second movement is sort of calm night, and the third movement is the dawn of a new day. And a little trivia about the second movement, and then we're going to hear a piece of this. So the second movement is entitled Introduction, Adagio, Allegro, Allegretto, Moderato. So this replaces the first movement that Beethoven initially intended. He played that initial movement for his friend Ferdinand Ries. And Ries really loved it, and he memorized the piece with great ease. And then he played it for someone else who also memorized the piece. And when Beethoven met that third party and the person played his piece for him, Beethoven was very upset. The piece was unpublished, you know, it maybe wasn't perfected the way he had envisioned it, and he was very upset. So he never again really let people hear his unpublished works.
Hmm.
Very interesting. So let's listen to this first movement of Beethoven's incredible Waldstein sonata, the Allegro con brio, which means fast tempo with spirit, here played by Maurizio Pollini.
We will do that. We'll listen to it and then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, everyone. We are back. Pamela Pantos, the Executive Director of the Newport Music Festival, and I'm Mike Maino, and we're talking about one of the world's greatest composers,
Ludwig van Beethoven. So the second piece on this beautiful program that we'll be doing this summer at the Breakers is one of his famous violin sonatas. Previous to Beethoven, you know, the classical form with a violin sonata was short, it was entertainment, and Beethoven completely transformed the violin sonata so that it was never to be the same again. The piece that we're playing is his Sonata No. 3 in E-flat major, and this precedes that middle period by just a couple of years, so you do hear the form that's, you know, previous to this classical, and yet this third sonata is grandiose, it's powerful, it's, you know, majestic, and it really is the beginning of that middle period because, you know, his earlier works were more keeping to the classical form. So it's really almost heroic in proportions. So you actually, you know, we call it a violin sonata, but it is really quite equal between the piano and the violin. And so that's quite different than what we heard previously. You know, before it would be a little, you know, playing of the violin right, and a few chords underneath. And here it really is transformed. What's interesting in this period, again, that we talked about is that Beethoven was becoming desperate over his growing deafness. He writes to his brother in that famous letter called the Heiligenstadt letter, about how unstable he personally feels in, you know, in his deafness and how he's changing. Simultaneously, let's think of the period of time in which we find ourselves directly between the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars. And so Beethoven was struggling internally and externally, and we start to hear that in this piece. So we're going to hear the first movement of this violin sonata number 3. Before we listen to this, I just want to mention who's going to be playing this. I failed to mention that Ina Falix, that incredible Yamaha artist who's been here in the past, will be playing both the Waldstein, and she will be playing with Stephanie Chase, our incredible violinist, this piece. And so now let's listen to the first movement of this lovely work, the violin sonata in number 3, here played by Itzhak Proman and Vladimir Ashkenazy.
Thank you.
One of the most famous Beethoven piano sonatas, as well as the most well-known, is the Moonlight Sonata, written during this middle period. So, you know, we have to think of what people were used to hearing, you know, kind of a light first movement. And here we start with this deeply sonorous arpeggiation at the piano. Beethoven did not give this piece the nickname Moonlight Sonata. That was much later in the 1830s when somebody else likened it to sort of a boat floating in the moonlight in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Beethoven dedicated this to one of his 16-year-old aristocratic students, so he wasn't silly. You know, he knew where his bread was being buttered. The Moonlight Sonata caused such a furor that everybody wanted to play it. Beethoven himself played the premiere, so the first public performance of the piece. And he played it so dramatically and violently that several of the piano strings snapped in the performance and became entangled in the hammer, so they had to stop the performance and go back. And, you know, Beethoven played probably with a heavy hand at this point in time because he wanted to hear the music himself. But nonetheless, you know, it became immediately one of the staples of the repertoire and probably one of the best loved piano pieces of music ever. So let's listen to this first movement marked Adagio Sostenuto.
Enjoy, and we'll be back after that in a few messages.
Thank you.
We are back on our special program of the Newport Music Festival. And Pamela, I was so excited about the new year that I didn't mention this is show number 46 for us.
We've been doing this a while. It doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like show number 3, I'll be honest. What a pleasure. Thank you so much, Mike.
It is great to be doing this, and we hope all of our WCRI listeners are enjoying it, as I'm sure they are. We get people all the time talking about how they love the details that you bring out and new information. So that's all good news.
Well, thank you. You know, before we continue, I think that we do need to think about Beethoven's deafness. And I don't mean to dwell upon this, but he himself said, in any other profession, it wouldn't matter. But here he is, this great composer, and yet was unable to hear his pieces. You know, there's the story about how in the dress rehearsal of his opera Fidelio, he was conducting and nobody, you know, the orchestra was fine, basically playing by themselves. But when the singers came in, it was a disaster. And so I think for Beethoven, he couldn't even comprehend why this tragic event would happen to him of all the people in the world. And he was very depressed for an extended period of time and had long periods when he didn't compose at all because he was so upset.
People don't realize that, you know, it wasn't like deafness was a plague of the era or anything like that. It was as unique then as it is now.
Right. But there was nothing they could do. There were no hearing aids. You know, they have all these trumpets that he tried to actually utilize. You can see them in the museums to improve his hearing. He went to a myriad of doctors. There was nothing he could do. And I think you need to think about it like that, that it would be for a painter being blind, right? It would be such an impediment. And yet, here in the middle period, and he goes on in his late period to create, I would say, his most, I hate to say elaborate, but I think you think of the Ninth Symphony and things like that, right? The incredible works that he created that no one could ever have created, and they were all in his head.
Yeah.
He never heard them.
Right.
So the last piece on this beautiful program that we'll be doing this summer is one of the Razumovsky string quartets that was composed in about 1805. So what's interesting is that these are very different string quartets than Beethoven's first works that he had done 6 years earlier. And 6 years doesn't seem like a long time, but in a composer's life, it is an extended period of time. They were dedicated to the Russian ambassador, Razumovsky, who had commissioned them and had been a huge supporter of Beethoven until a fire destroyed much of his wealth in December of 1814. And so they became a permanent part of the collection. Razumovsky himself sometimes played second violin. He was an amateur violinist. So what's interesting about these is he incorporates French folk themes to honor his host. And at the same time, you can hear the change, that they're not the traditional, you know, almost anticipate what's going to happen next and the slow movement, but rather he starts pushing the boundaries and he starts expanding upon what we anticipate for a string quartet. Again, I think that our listeners understanding this period a little bit better can hear that it's not the late Beethoven string quartets that are sometimes quite challenging. These are string quartets that were written for the Count that we can really appreciate. And with all these folk melodies, they kind of just grab us and take us along. So let's listen to this first movement, the introduction, the Andante con moto and the Allegro vivace. So, you know, Andante con moto means really walking with speed a little bit. And the Allegro vivace is, of course, very exciting, played by the Emerson String Quartet. And again, this gorgeous program will be played on Tuesday, July 9th at the Breakers, and tickets go on sale soon.
And don't forget, you can get that by going to newportmusic.org. Thank you once again, Pamela. We'll listen to that and then see you next time.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.